Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sirius Report. Well, Paul, recently we spoke about the UK and there likely being the domino that starts the economic destruction in Europe. Now, just a few weeks later, bond yields continue to validate this, even as both France and Germany try to compete for who will go first.
Yeah, and we thought we'd return to this because there's ongoing new data that's come out that supports the fact that really, to all intents and purposes, you can see how the end's in sight for the UK economy, how UK assets are in serious trouble. And we thought we'd go through a bunch of individual points and explain why they're relevant, why it's significant, and why you have to kind of read a bit between the lines as well to understand why there's panic in not just the government, panic in arguably the City of London, panic in the wider financial sector, because they're seeing all this data and with no respite in. And what I wanted to do was to start off with, and we've heard this before and it's worth mentioning it again, where there's been a lot of people in the financial sector saying, oh, the government needs to encourage retail investors to buy shares in UK listed companies. Now, what that tells us is clearly the institutional interest is non-existent. They can't get anyone to buy in that regard. They're wanting, because this is how financialization works, to try and prop up the FTSE 100 and et cetera, et cetera, and try to convey the impression, oh, the economy is great because look, the FTSE is at an all-time high. It's all just pseudo-confidence boosting, but it implies an act of desperation, because why are you going to go to retail investors who are really struggling due to a cost of living crisis? And we'll discuss that specifically shortly. But they came out and made claims, oh, you know, the UK population has hundreds of billions of pounds of savings, and we need to get them to get that money to work for the UK economy. I mean, this is unprecedented. These are the kind of statements which demonstrate that they're really worried about the bottom falling out of equity markets. They're really worried that they can't find any buyers for equities. So let's encourage retail investors to buy at the very top. And who cares, you know, if their money all gets vaporized in a matter of weeks or months. But that, when you hear those noises, that is a very clear indication you've got major problems with your financial system. You've got major problems with institutional investment, and nobody really is interested in buying equities in the UK. So we need some suckers to try and have a rally. Let's get retail investors on board and let the government find ways to sell sort of equities as though, oh, they're the future. This is the way you need to invest your money. We can make massive returns, and it's all essentially utter nonsense.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, because even the headlines coming out, going back first of July and then to about a week ago, here's some of them off the top of my head. How the UK's are savers to be targeted with offers to invest in shares, validating what you're saying about they desperately need them in the markets. And then this was from a week ago. Britain's rush to withdraw pensions fearing tax hikes. And that is a big significant one, because as noted, the UK government desperately needs funds to be directed somewhere. Consumers in the UK have been moving money into savings. They've not been buying. The economy has been slowing down. It's just, you know, a spiral that's going through down towards the drain. So they see this little pocket of money and they think that that's their way out. And if they can't get investors to voluntarily put their money into markets or into consumerism, then the alternative is to tax it away from them.
Yeah, exactly. And the point in the month of July, basically the UK economy was flatlined at 0% growth, meaning nothing at all. But the interesting headline is that there was a 0.9% fall in the production sector, which includes manufacturing. And That was driven by what was admitted to be a broad-based weakness across manufacturing industries. That is a sure sign that where there's real economic growth, not all this pseudo-economic growth, which is government spending, etc., then whatever industry's left is really struggling in the UK. And the other thing with regards to this is businesses are screaming about the fact that they had to increase national insurance contributions, and there was a significant rise in the national living wage. Now, I'm all for people having enough money to live on, but someone has to pay for this, and clearly no one was able to pay for this. And this is also, of course, part of this huge black hole that exists in public finances. And businesses are stood there going, you know what, we cannot afford to pay these larger employer national insurance contributions. We can't pay higher wages. You're crippling our productivity, you're crippling our businesses, hence why we've seen this fall in the production sector, including, of course, as I said, manufacturing. The other problem that the UK is facing, there's a budget coming up in what, 2 months or so. They're going to announce a whole raft of tax increases because there's going to be this huge downgrade in the Office for Budget Responsibility's forecasts about economic growth. Again, why is that the case? Because the general wider economy is cratering. And if you look at the UK's goods deficit, it's widened now in the 3 months to July to nearly £62 billion. The other thing, of course, that's a big problem is there's higher than expected inflation, which jumped to 3.8% in July. Therefore, there's all this idea that the Bank of England would lower interest rates, which the UK desperately needs lower interest rates, but it can't afford to have lower interest rates because inflation is still very high. So, again, this comes back to the fact that when you have higher interest rates, therefore, that's going to affect the gilt markets. So therefore, there's no chance, as things currently stand, with regards to interest rate cuts. The other thing is, coming up, there's going to be jobs and inflation data, which is certainly not going to reflect too well on the state of the economy. And the fact, as we said, they cannot, therefore, on that basis, lower interest rates. Now, another point worth making with regards to the cost of living crisis. If you look at the UK economy in recent years, there has been an enormous hike in gas prices. Though it's a bit debatable depending on who your provider is, but it's probably in the last 4 years around about 90%. Electricity prices have gone up about 80%, fuel's up about 40 to 50%, rents are up 25%, food's up at least 25%, and average earnings pro rata are down about 3%. That is an absolute recipe for an enormous cost of living crisis, where in the end, people just simply cannot afford to live. So, in the end, what are people going to do? They're going to have to dip into savings. So much for getting people to spend their savings on buying equities and trying to pump a stock market. People are simply scrambling now to be able to afford to keep a roof over their head, quite literally. And that is how severe a problem the economy is.
You know, when you take a look at what's going on in the bond market and with the UK budget, more and more, this was from a few weeks ago, economists were saying that Britain is headed towards a 1970s style debt crisis where they actually had to bail out from the IMF. So it looks like it's repeating from what the economy was at and the financial situation from 50 years ago. But here's another very poignant thing. The Bank of England, or a former Bank of England rate setter, mentioned that the UK's borrowing costs now are higher than in Greece. And Greece is the epitome of the pigs nations going back to the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look again with regard to some of the finances, there's this tens of billions of pounds black hole to fill in the budget, as we said, which comes up in about 2 months' time. The cost of long-term UK borrowing is now at the highest level since 1998. Yeah, there's certainly talk. I know there's all people trying to deny it, that the IMF is going to have to bail out the United Kingdom, as exactly what did happen. I think it was in 1976. I mean, so obviously you can sit there and go, oh, but there are higher bond yields in other countries, like in the US or France or anywhere else, but they're not as high as they are in the UK. And what they're doing is that's going to push up borrowing costs for consumers and businesses, which is a huge problem, given Western economies completely depend on endless credit. And obviously, equity and bond markets are going to struggle to make any form of meaningful progress when borrowing costs continue to rise. And if you look at the UK government, it also has to spend increasingly larger amounts on interest payments. I think the Treasury paid more than £100 billion a year in interest. I mean, and then the problem is when old debt matures and they try and roll it over, they're going to have to pay even higher rates than they did when they originally took that debt out. The other thing, of course, is with regards to borrowing costs in the UK, they're higher than those in any other country in the G7. As we said, UK inflation is at 3.8%. That's higher than anywhere else in the G7. And therefore, because of all the impending, it's not even doom and gloom, it's just the impending economic financial crisis, there's a demand for higher bond yields to compensate for the risk of investing in a UK economy whose fiscal position is extremely precarious. And the problem is the United Kingdom is getting stuck in this situation where it's going to have negligible growth or no growth. It's going to have higher inflation. And therefore, you talked about stagflation. And the reality is, who's going to want to touch its bond market or who's going to want to touch its equities, ironically? And with regards to the bond markets, the UK is in a really serious problem, because it's lost two of the key sources of demand for government bonds. One of those is pension funds, because they're moving over to defined contribution pension schemes. Therefore, that doesn't involve investment in bonds. The other thing, and of course, this could dramatically change anytime soon, the Bank of England, which spent 15 years buying up bonds through QE, is now, of course, tightening. And therefore, the question is, if they continue to proceed in doing that, they're not going to be there to hoover up bonds when no one else wants to. And therefore, everyone's turning around looking at the private sector, who's saying, well, they have to absorb the bonds is issuing, but also they're having to absorb the holdings offloaded by the Bank of England under QT, and they don't particularly want to do either. So if you are struggling to find anyone to buy your bonds, then you're going to have to go and find foreign investors. And foreign investors are going to go, well, we want rates to be considerably higher to address the risks we perceive to exist in your economy, your financial system. And therefore, the government then is in this situation where they're going, well, we don't want to make cuts to public spending, because apparently there was nearly a revolt in the Labour government about doing that, which amounts to austerity. Oh, so therefore we're going to hike taxes. Well, hike taxes at precisely the time when the economy is cratering, when interest rates are rising, when the cost of living crisis is reaching biblical proportions, and therefore you hike taxes, people have less disposable income. And of course, when the government comes to address its budget and what is the money it can spend, the future economic growth is going to be dire. Therefore, the Office for Budget Responsibility should reflect that. And therefore, that alone creates huge budgetary issues, which the government's not going to be in any position to help, because the fiscal policy is not going to help the economy. Monetary policy is not going to help either. I mean, and therefore, we're in this situation where we are in that huge spiral where the end is in sight for the UK economy. And of course, the problem is when you have all these elevated bond prices. We saw that when Truss was very briefly Prime Minister, and obviously the bond markets reacted very badly to government policy. And subsequently, pension funds needed a bailout from the Bank of England. at the time. Well, interest rates, or the rates, sorry, on gilts are a lot higher now. So in principle, that should have already happened. If they keep rising, in the end, we're going to have another crisis, where, in fact, of course, the Bank of England will have to step in. And who knows what the severity of the problem will be at that point in time. And what's the Bank of England going to do? Start buying up government debt with interest rates at 4%? No. So what are they going to do? Slash interest rates to like 1% or 0%? Well, what's going to happen to inflation? Inflation will skyrocket. So there is no way out of this mess in any way, shape, or form. They can sit there, try and dissect this 10 different ways, but there is nowhere, anywhere in the economy, in the financial system, fiscally, money, in terms of monetary policy, in terms of the real economy, where there's any glimmer of hope that there's something in there that can save the markets, save the real economy. And this is why, we keep seeing the data coming out which supports the view we're taking. We're not being dramatic or extremist about this in any way, shape, or form. This is an enormously serious problem. And, we've made some points here that absolutely eloquently prove precisely what the problem is.
Yeah, I'm going to make three final points going into the finish here. One, you just mentioned about the Bank of England having to eventually or inevitably have to bail out the government. Interestingly enough, the Bank of England has been refraining from monetizing bonds for a while now, and this is one of the reasons, big reasons, why the UK is sort of having to look towards the IMF for bailout and help. But the other two points, current UK inflation, I think you mentioned it, 3.8%, 4%, around that range. That is double the entire Eurozone and double Germany. They are heads and shoulders above everyone, second place being Japan at 3% and the US at 2.7%. And the other key thing of importance is when you take a look at the chart, even going back to the 1700s, for the UK national debt to GDP ratio, it had gotten under 50% in 1987. But once we started 2008, it has accelerated up and now really has gone above 100%. So the debt, pretty much economists have said once you get above a 90% debt to GDP, then your any money that you print, any new currency has diminishing returns. And so, no matter if they have to monetize and try to get capital or more debt just to sustain themselves, it's going to have diminishing returns overall for the economy. So we're probably at a level of stagflation, only to lead into a much greater crisis very shortly. Paul, was there any other final things you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to summarize a few points because if you look at the situation with the UK, because the budget, or there's this gigantic black hole, governments always typically go, well, we have to have austerity. Well, and everyone's screaming, well, you can't have austerity. So instead, they will sit there and go, right, we'll have tax hikes. And if you hike taxes when you have an extremely weak economy, then you're just going to accelerate the demise of that economy. But that's what happens in these situations where governments sit there and have no understanding of what the problem is. They're just working basically on raw data that says, well, you have a choice, you do this or this or this. None of those things can work. And fundamentally, another big problem the UK has, it doesn't have access to cheap energy. So therefore, again, everything underpins energy because it's the lifeblood of a nation. And they can sit there and talk about, well, there's certain areas of the economy that it did well. Oh, the services sector did well. But if you start having a situation where people's cost of living crisis grows exponentially and the economy starts to crater, more and more people lose their jobs, then your services sector is going to also collapse. They talked about how there was growth in the construction sector in the UK. I can't doubt the data, but I find that quite incredible to believe, given everything else that's going on. But how long's the construction sector going to keep growing? It's not. So therefore, the argument's going to be, even if you fudge all the data, because GDP is a gigantic fudge, you're going to end up with a situation where you're going to start having serious negative growth. And therefore, the whole thing just becomes this vicious circle from which there is no way out of it. Ultimately, what ends up happening is, if the Bank of England's going to step in and do anything, even if inflation's running at 4 or 5% and has to bail everything out, because that's the bottom line. If the financial system starts having problems, they're going to have to step in. And the only way they're going to step in is doing precisely what they did in 2008. So they're going to have to reverse QT and go to QE. And to go to QE, there's only one solution. They're going to have to slash interest rates. And when they slash interest rate, then inflation is going to skyrocket. And when inflation skyrockets, what's left of the economy will vaporize. And it will end up in a situation where people, the cost of living crisis that exists now is going to seem like a walk in or a stroll in the park compared to what the cost of living crisis would be then. Now, I was extremely young at the time, but there was a period in the 70s where inflation was around 26%. I'm not saying we're going to go back to inflation being 26% by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm trying to highlight an example where there is serious risks of inflation significantly hiking because of the fact that everyone's backed into a corner, and quite literally, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, I think one final point from something you just laid out. Back in 2010, not just the UK, but Europe as a whole had a massive debt crisis, and it required the US Fed to open up swap lines. And that was where Bernanke was sending money hand over fist to Europe to bail them out. Do we think that the US is going to intervene this time? From what it looks like with the Trump administration, they're disconnecting from Europe as quickly as possible. So there is not going to be that outward solution. And when you take a look at, you laid out the two different alternatives, either taxes or monetize, there's always a third, but politicians don't like to use that. And that's to appeal to nations like China for capital inflow and investment. We'll see if it comes to that. But either way, we'll keep everybody up to date on what is happening in this financial world. Paul, as always, want to thank you for being a part of the discussion.
Yes, and likewise.
And everybody here at the Sirius Report community, as always, thank you for your support. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, send this out to anybody you think it might be important to. And until the next time we get together, have a great day.